It is always present waiting for men to receive it, and by their longings and prayers, cause their souls to be opened up to its reception. And this remembers, that this love of the Father is so very great that the spirit which conveys it to man cannot become grieved. Well, I did not intend to write on this subject tonight, and what I have said is merely fragmentary, but sometime I will come and write in detail. You must pray more and let your faith increase, and you will find what the Holy Spirit is, and how it operates. Your prayers will be answered, and a great inflowing of the love, and also your desires will be realized. Keep up your courage and you will not be disappointed. Today may look dark and dreary, but tomorrow the sun will shine, and you will enjoy the sunlight. I will not write more now. So with my love and blessings, I will say good night. Your brother in Christ, John. June 16, 1917. I am here, Mother of Leslie. Let me write a line, as I am anxious to contribute my encouragement to what John has said, and I know that what he told you as to the powers that are working in this matter is all true. While we do not pay much attention to time, yet in the present case time is essential, and every day is important in the furtherance of the work, and we know this to a greater extent than you possibly can. Do the best and the most that you can, until the time comes for you to have the surroundings that are so desirable to make the work easier of performance. You have the love of many high spirits, and their powers are not to be underestimated. You may think it strange that I write in this way, but you must understand that while I am not of those who inhabit the high celestial heavens, yet I am interested in the work, for I know what it means. The truths to be conveyed to you have saved me from the slow progression of the soul without the divine love, and have also lifted my boy from the darkness of ignorance and false beliefs into the knowledge of the truth. And there, the Paget messages 1917, salvation of his soul, and what they have done for him they will do for all mortals who receive the light and pray for the love. And you can see that this love is so great and of such a nature that we who have it to a degree want every one of our brother mortals to know the way to obtain it. So do not think that I, just because I am of little importance among the high spirits of the celestial heavens, may not help a little, for I can and am endeavoring to do so. Tell my boy that his mother loves him with all her heart and soul, and is praying for him, and that she knows, as regards his prayers, it does not depend upon the help of spirits to bring a response, for the Father answers directly and sends his Holy Spirit to bring to him the response. Oh, how I love the Father, and how his love makes me happy and gives me a peace that only he can confer. We are all present tonight with our love and influence and prayers. I must not write more now. So believe that I am a spirit who loves her boy with a true love that no earthly mother can know. Good night. Your sister in Christ, Priscilla Stone. I am here, Elizabeth Barrett Browning. Let me say a word, and that is, that I have listened to the last message that was written you, St. John. And if I could only utter from my soul as that spirit did the deep and true meaning of love and gladness, I would think that beyond the condition that I should then be in, there could not possibly be any starry heavens or beyond. I am a bright spirit and happy, but my happiness is not that which I saw in the bright spirit who wrote, and my love to his is like a pale moonbeam compared to the glorious sunlight. I wonder now that such a spirit can possess such a glorious countenance of love and sympathy. When he spoke of the love of the mother for her son, his whole soul seemed to go with his words, and to reflect the wondrous love that he must possess. This is the first time that I have ever attempted to write through a mortal, and my astonishment is great that I can do so with such ease, but I realize that it must be, because there are so many beautiful spirits present encouraging me to do so. You should be a very happy mortal to have all these glorious spirits around and so close to you, and they all seem to love you so very much, and as I write they smile upon you and say that they love you, not only because they are your parents and 582 relatives, but because in your heart, and I refer to both you mortals, there is a love that responds to theirs and recognizes the fact of the mutuality of the affections. Tell me what is the secret of this, to me, wonderful attraction, and what this love is, for it must be beyond what I have experienced. Well, I have heard what you said, and one beautiful spirit comes to me, and says, that she is a countrywoman of mine, and invites me to go with her for a little talk, and says that her name on earth was Kate, and now it is, a child of the Father and a possessor of his love, which she says is a part of the love that I see all around me. How wonderful this all is, and how I long to be among these beautiful spirits in their beauty and happiness. Well, I will have to leave now and learn the secret of the love. So thanking you, I will say good night. Your true friend, Elizabeth Barrett Browning. I am here, your own true and loving Helen. Well, dear, you have had some beautiful messages tonight and in them was much love, and I was glad that you received these messages. Tell doctor that his mother actually wrote and that she is here now and says that she will accompany him alone and remain with him until he goes to sleep. Her love for him seems to be great tonight. And dear Professor Salyards also wrote in his loving and sympathetic way. What a wonderful spirit he is in his deference to the female spirits, and he sees only love and beauty in all. The last spirit who wrote, I am not acquainted with, but I have no doubt that she is who she represents herself to be. At any rate, she is quite a beautiful spirit but does not know what the divine love means and went with the doctor's sister, who will tell her. For Kate is a very beautiful spirit with much of the love in her soul and seems so full of desire to let all know what this love is. She is doing a wonderful work among the dark spirits and is one of the busiest of the spirits who attend on your evenings when the dark spirits come for help. And I must also say that she is so joyful in the fact that the doctor has found the way that will lead him to the celestial heavens. And there is another one present whom I must not neglect to mention, and I could not if I wanted to, for she says now, Helen, if you love me, tell Leslie that I am here and want only to say that I love him as he knows. She is progressing in her, the Paget Messages 1917, soul development very rapidly, and I tell her that she is commencing to look real beautiful, and if a doctor could only see her he would think so too. And she says that it does not matter whether she is beautiful or not, if she could only make herself visible to the doctor he would not look to see whether she was beautiful or not, because she would look at him with such eyes of love that he wouldn't see anything but her eyes. Well, dear, you must not write more. Keep up your courage and believe what has been told you, for you will not be disappointed. Tomorrow night the Master desires to finish his message. So with my love to you both I will say good night. Your own true and loving, Helen. June 19, 1917. I am here, Kate Stone. Tell my brother that what he heard a few nights ago in reference to me is true, and that I am engaged with my whole heart and soul in the work of helping the dark and suffering spirits, and when I succeed in turning some towards the light and the Father's love, there comes to me a happiness I cannot describe. The fact of being an instrument in the redemption of one lost soul affords greater happiness than any mortal can dream of, and when I tell my brother that I have succeeded in showing the way to many of these spirits, he may perhaps, in a small way, realize what my happiness is. To me the work is one of the greatest that we spirits can possibly engage in, and I never get tired or disheartened. And even though sometimes I fail to convince a spirit as to the way to light and relief from his suffering, yet I never feel disappointed, for I know that sometime sooner or later that spirit will perceive the meaning of my words and they will have their effect. But not only can I see the results of my own work, but also that of you three mortals, for you all help these dark spirits by your talks with them. And my brother must not think that just because he cannot write and thus be certain that the spirits are listening to him, that he cannot perform this task, for I must tell him that he does. When he talks to them, they give him their attention and believe him, and many take his advice and seek the Father's love through the only way it can be obtained, through earnest prayer. He will know someday what the results of his efforts are, and when he does, he will thank the Father that he was given this gift. Tell him to continue, and even though he cannot hear their response, I will come at times to inform him of results, a soul in darkness and torment rescued by a mortal who knows the truth. A crown of one star representing salvation of a soul is a glorious possession, but a crown of many stars bestowed for the saving of many souls is a treasure beyond description. This crown will be his, but while it will not be one to be worn, yet it will be a crown set in the joyous countenances of spirits relieved of their sufferings and radiant in the glory of the Father's love. I will stop now, as Helen says you are tired and must not write more tonight. With my love, I will say good night to you and Leslie. Your sister in Christ, Kate Stone. June 21, 1917. I am the man who said to Jesus as he bore his cross to Calvary, "Pass on," and to whom he said, "Tarry thou till I come," and for years and years I waited, until at last he came to me, not as the reincarnated Jesus, but as my brother and friend in the possession of the divine love, which I received in my soul after the long years of waiting and suffering on earth. I know that this is considered a legend by mortals, but to me it was a vital and painful fact. I was truly the wandering Jew and found rest nowhere, and even death would not come to me to release me of a life that was a torture, and a cause of recollection of my inhumanity to the truly Jesus. I have now been in spirit life for many centuries and am in the celestial heavens, for the divine love of the Father is sufficient to redeem the vilest of mortals and the perpetrators of the greatest sins from their conditions of darkness and sufferings. If I had only known what a beloved Son of God the Master was when I uttered my vile words and cruel curses, I would never have opened my mouth, except to bless him and comfort him as he walked his weary way to the cross. But I did not know, and thought that I was serving my God, when I reviled him, who, as I thought, was a blasphemer and destroyer of our religion. But I paid the penalty even while on earth, and suffered the tortures that no man can understand, for as I continued to live, and death was always fleeing from me, I commenced to and did realize that I had committed a sin against the chosen of the Father, and his, I mean Jesus, 583, the Paget Messages 1917, sentence upon me became a thing of wonderful and ever-present reality. But now, I know that he loved even me, and that while I was wandering and suffering he was with me trying to help me open up my soul to the divine love, which was my only liberator from my doom. I know that this may seem strange and unbelievable to you, and not possible in the workings of God's economy in dealing with his creatures, but it was true, and I know. But the wonderful love. Oh, how can I ever express my feelings of gratitude to the Father and to Jesus? While I remained in my ignorant and disheartened state, that very Jesus was with me many times in his love, trying to help me. Many spirits have told me this, and it is true. I write this because I want you and the world to know that this love is waiting for all mankind, and that there is no sinner so vile that it cannot turn him into the divine angel of God's celestial heavens. I will not write more now, except to say that whenever you read of me, remember that I am no longer the wandering Jew but a redeemed child from sin and error, and much beloved by that very Jesus whom I treated so cruelly. With my love I will say, good night. I will sign myself as I am best known, the wandering Jew I am here, Saint John, Apostle of Jesus. Well, you were surprised at the last message and it is not to be wondered that you were, for I know that to you this story was a mere legend, as it is to most others of the mortal life, who have thought on the subject. And again, the wandering Jew was not in your mind as I know, for I was present before you commenced to write and know just what the contents of your mind were, and what expectations you had. I recite these facts to impress you that this message is not the result of any subconscious mind that the philosophers speak of. But the message came solely because the spirit who wrote came to you and took control of your brain and hands and actually wrote the message. He is truly the man known as the Wandering Jew, and the legend is true so far as his having treated the Master as he said in the Master's sentence upon him to tarry until he should come. Naturally the question arises, how could the Master have imposed such a sentence, or what power had the Master to do that which is so contrary to all the ordinary known laws of God? Well, the question is a pertinent and proper one and is entitled to an answer. At the time of the Master's crucifixion he was surrounded by a great host of spirits, in whom was vested the most wonderful powers of the spirit world, and they accompanied him in his weary march to the cursed cross, all trying to sustain him, and listening to his words, and many of them knowing his thoughts and the travail of his soul, and when he rested because of the burden of carrying the cross, they were with him and heard the inhuman command of the Jew and the Master's reply, and then they determined that the sentence should be carried out and never end until the Jew had traveled the weary road of suffering that he saw Jesus was traveling, and until he should seek relief in that way that the very Master came to earth to make known to mortals, and this Jew was among them. The spirits were with the Jew continually sustaining him in his physical life so that the friend that he hoped and prayed for, I mean death, should not come to him, until first should come the great love of the Father to redeem him from the results of the sentence. And strange as it may seem to you, at the very time that these spirits were exercising their powers to prolong the physical life of the man, they were also trying to influence him so that he would open up his soul to the inflowing of the love, and among those who thus worked was the Master himself. But the old beliefs of this Jew in the teachings of the laws of Moses, and in Abraham as his father and the great medium of his salvation, and that great power which he possessed, the human will prevented the opening up of his soul for many long years, and not until he was convinced that the sentence of the Master was being carried out, did he commence to realize that the teachings of his church and father Abraham were not sufficient for his salvation from the awful doom pronounced upon him, and there came to him the thought that the man whom he had cursed might be the truly Son of God, and that his teachings of the only way to the Father and happiness was through this love. For in the meantime he had lived among the Christians and had learned what the teachings of this love were, and that it was waiting for all, and could be obtained by all through prayer and the submission of the human will. Well, he suffered and sought in every way to obtain this death, but it always evaded him, until at last his will broke and the truth came to him. And 584, the Paget Messages 1917, with it prayer, and then came freedom. For I must tell you that when the soul of a mortal prays in earnestness and with true longings, all the powers of all the spirits in the spiritual or celestial heavens cannot prevent that love from responding to the prayers, and from making the longing soul free and at one, to a degree, with the Father. The sentences of spirits and angels cannot exist contrary to that love's demands. And this being so, mortals can readily understand that all the powers of the hells and the evil ones cannot prevail against that love. And thus further will you understand that the true prayers of a longing soul are more powerful and will bring the response from the Father, than all the powers of angels, and spirits and devils combined. Thus you may comprehend what an important creature is one poor mite of a mortal when in truth and earnestness he comes to the Father, seeking his love. Well, when I came tonight, I had no thought of writing such a message as I have written, but as I realize that you may, in thinking about the message of the wandering Jew, and doubt that the laws of nature may be set aside even at the command of the Master, I thought it best to write you as I have. No laws of nature were, in fact, set aside, but the powers of the spirits were exercised upon preserving the physical organs and functions of this Jew, so that life would remain, and the vitalizing principle perform its work in preserving the Jew as a living mortal. Do not wonder at this, for I must tell you that before these messages shall be completed you will be told of many truths that will be more astonishing and contrary to what men call the laws of nature, than is the case of the wandering Jew. I will not write more now, and with my love to you and your friend, I will say good night. Your brother in Christ, John. I am here, William Stone. I want to say just a word to my son. I have been with him a great deal of late, observing the presence of the divine love in his soul. I am justified in telling him that this love at times has flowed into his soul in great abundance, and as John said, all the powers of the spirit world could not have prevented it from doing so. He must realize that earnest prayer and the longings of his soul are the only meditations between him and the Father, and that this response is of that nature that in order for him to be conscious of it, it is not necessary for some spirit to 585, tell him. No, only he, and God, knows where the love comes from, and no spirit can possibly get between that God and the mortal soul. Of course we can see the effect of the possession of that love by the soul of the mortal and spirit as well, but when it comes only he can sense it. God is his only bestower and he alone can direct the Holy Spirit. I write thus, because I want to implant firmly in my son's mind and consciousness the fact that this love needs no help from spirits to bring him its presence. My Father is always waiting to bestow the love even though he, the substance, may not be present in his soul form. But his love is never absent and never fails to respond. I am happier than I can express over the fact that my boy has the opportunity to come into a knowledge of the way in which this love can be obtained, and the further fact that his soul consciousness has been so developed that he can sense its bestowal. We are all present tonight and are praising and thanking the Father for his goodness and mercy, and our prayers are ascending to him for a greater and greater bestowal of this love. While we are not unhappy over the fact that if our other children would turn their thoughts to this love and seek for it, we would be able to rejoice with a greater joy. We realize that life on earth is short, and that very soon all our children will be with us, and then they will learn the truth and turn their thoughts to things spiritual, and that we will be able to help them without the interference of the flesh and the allurements of the world. But how much better it would be if they would only start on their progress while they are surrounded by the temptations of the flesh. We are praying for them and constantly trying to impress them with our love and thoughts of things spiritual, and have a lively hope that before they come to us the awakening may come to them. I am progressing, and the fact that my son sends us loving thoughts and attracts to him spirits of the high celestial spheres help us all so much, for we get the benefit of the truths that they convey and the wonderful atmosphere of love and the divine love that they bring with them. I will not write more. All send their love and blessings. Good night. Your friend in Christ, William Stone. I am here, your own true and loving Helen. Well, dear, you have had some very surprising messages tonight, and I don't wonder that you, the Paget messages 1917, think they may not be just from whom they represent themselves to be, but the fact is that the persons professing to write actually did so. The Jew is a very bright spirit of the celestial spheres, but one who is very humble, and the effect of his great suffering on earth is plainly shown in his great humility. What a wonderful thing such an experience is! And when he told you of his long weary years on earth, he seemed for the moment to be going over the experience again, but of course, he was not, for the love that is in him prevented the grief of those years from finding more than a temporary lodgment in his recollections. Well, the truth of what he wrote you can be believed in, not only because John corroborated him, but because many other spirits who were present at the time say that it is true. Your own true and loving Helen. June 24, 1917. I am here, GWH. I would like to write a few lines, as I am much interested in the conversation that I have heard, and know that what you two say about the falsity of Jesus' blood and sacrifice being necessary or sufficient to save a soul from sin and error and to make it at one with the Father, is true. I know this from personal experience, for no mortal ever believed more in that doctrine than did I, and many, yes, most all the years of my life were spent not only in believing that false doctrine, but in teaching it. And not until I had suffered and realized that such blood and sacrifice were not able to save me did I seek for something else, and then it was a long time before I found that something else. For when I was first told of the divine love being the only thing necessary to save my soul, and that without it all the blood and vicarious sufferings of Jesus would not avail, I found it so contrary to my old beliefs that I refused to entertain the thought. And as I suffered and could find no way of relief, and as the spirits who had told me of this love insisted on my seeking for it, I commenced to do so, though at times I felt that I was doing wrong. Well, I found it, and then commenced to seek with more energy and faith until I found relief. And now I can say that the only thing that will save a soul is this divine love, and everything else that mortals believe to be necessary is useless. I have never written you before, although I have told Helen that I desired to do so, and now I am very happy that I have the opportunity. Before closing, I wish to say that you are in the truth in 586, your beliefs, and must not let any, or all, of the preachers on earth cause you to doubt these truths. I am in the third sphere and progressing, and hope to continue until I arrive in the celestial heavens, of which Helen has told me so much. With my love, I will say, good night. Your brother in Christ, GWH George W. Hayde, Helen's father, June 25, 1917. I am here, Luke. I have listened to your conversation and have enjoyed the facts disclosed of the knowledge of the truths that you two possess of these truths that have been conveyed to you by the various messages and the intuitions, if I may so describe, which I wish to say that I have also impressed you with these truths. And here I desire to say that in our working to make plain to you these truths by our impressions, or as some mediums might say, our inspirations, but we do not let you depend entirely on the mere language of the message, but we try to give you accurate understanding of the true interpretation of these messages. This you may not know, but it is a fact, and in many instances our work of this nature has caused you to conceive the truth that is delicate shades of meaning that otherwise you might not have received. And from this you will understand that you have the clairvoyant faculty as well as that of writing. And when I say clairvoyant, I do not mean that faculty which enables you to hear clearly with the spirit ear, but rather that which enables you to receive our impressions and inspires you, being actually conscious of the reception of these impressions. So you see, you have the opportunity of receiving these things which very few mortals have, for this is a phase of mediumship, as it might be called, which is rare and not possessed by many mortals. It differs from the ordinary inspirational phase in this, that where the medium receives information in this latter way, the spirit ear actually hears the thoughts coming of which the medium is conscious, while in the former method there is neither an actual hearing nor a consciousness on the part of the mortal of the thing conveyed. And all during the delivery of these messages of the higher truths, both to you and your friend, you will have the benefit of our instructions conveyed in this impressionable way. Well, I am glad that you are both progressing in soul development as you are doing, and if you, the Paget Messages 1917, continue to pray and seek, this will increase until the time will come that will bring to you powers that you do not now conceive of. You both, as you know, have special guardians who are looking after you in reference to these spiritual things, that will not fail to succeed in making you what they desire, and what you will wonder at when the time of your realization comes. I heard what my charge, Eugene Morgan, said as to my writing him a special message dealing with truth that will help in the work that he is now doing among the deluded spirits in purgatory, and I will soon fulfill that promise, and when I see that he is in the proper condition, I will write. I will not write more tonight, but with my love advise you both to pray and have faith, and you will be happier on earth and more than happy when you come to your eternal homes. Good night. Your brother in Christ, Luke. July 1, 1917. Let me say only a few words, as I am anxious to write and tell you that I was with you tonight on your last visit to the home of my son, Mr. Fontaine, and was hoping that the opportunity would present itself for me to write. But, as you know, I was disappointed, and I know that my daughter was also, for she expected that in the event that you should call at her brother's home, she would be able to get a communication from me. As I could not write there, I thought I would accompany you home in hope that I might write, as I am now doing, for I heard you say that you had received a letter from your wife every night, and if that should happen tonight, that I might have the chance to write. Well, I want my daughter to know that I approve her searching for the truth which she may find in spiritualism, if properly sought for, and, notwithstanding, that some of my family do not believe in it and treat it with indifference or disbelief, yet, in it many truths may be found. It is a truth itself, and is waiting for mortals to investigate and learn that it is true, and that in it are those truths that will lead them to much greater happiness than they now have on earth, and infinitely more than they can possibly find should they come to the spirit world without a knowledge of these truths. As they, I mean my family, know that I was a strict Orthodox and believed in the teachings of the Bible as the church to which I belonged taught, and which I, myself, taught, and died firmly 587, established in that belief and came into the spirit world wholly impregnated with this belief, expecting to meet Jesus and be admitted to the presence of God. And according to my beliefs I was justified in having such expectation. But alas, how different was my experience when I left the mortal world, and how my expectations shattered in a moment, as it were. As my spirit left my body, I was fully conscious of the change that was taking place, and knew that I was dying, but was perfectly calm and without a particle of fear. I suffered no pain, or dread of what I should meet, but rather felt a happy expectation in the thought that my troubles of the earth life were past forever, and that soon I would be at rest and find my home among the chosen children of God, and have Jesus welcome me and take me in his arms of love. All the expectations that I possessed before my passing were with me, and much accentuated, and no doubt of my realizing the same, for a moment, entered my mind to disturb my hopes. I also expected to meet my loved ones who had gone before and enjoy the happiness of their presence and purified condition of soul. Well, I soon found myself a spirit, dissevered from my body, possessed of joy and, as mortals say, lighter than air.